So this series is called Beyond Drifting, Imperfectly Known Animals. And this was inspired by a marine biologist called John Vaughan Thompson. And he found pioneering discoveries of plankton in Cork Harbour in the 1800s. And he wrote memoirs about the different types of plankton that he'd found. For instance, he found that the crab was part of a metamorphosis cycle. It started off as plankton, then ended up as a crab. And at that time, nobody knew about that. So he's a bit of an unsung hero. And he found these samples of plankton in Cork Harbour at the time. And I decided that I wanted to try and bring prominence to him, but also revisit the places where he collected plankton. But of course, when I went back, I found plastic. So I decided to make some plastic plankton samples from the plastic that I found, and wanted to create them to look like plankton.
Wow. How did you go about doing that?
So basically, it started practically. It was a bit of an accident. I knew I wanted to create something different, and I laid the plastic on the black background like I normally do. And I accidentally moved the background, and it created a blur with the objects I had on there. And also, I wanted to use film this time, which is different from previously because normally I use digital. And I was using a 35mm camera, and it was quite an old one, and it had a plastic seal on the back of the camera, and the film actually stuck to the back of the camera, which is ironic because it's a failing of plastic that it kind of gone sticky. And the film stuck to the back of the camera, and it produced two or three shots overlapping each other. The film back, and it was developed, so I had sort of three images on top of each other. So this kind of accident also reflected the title, Imperfectly Known Animals, because the process was imperfect in itself. And I kind of quite like that. That kind of resonated with the process. So this is how I sort of began doing it. And then I had to try and repeat the same thing over using several different objects. And the main idea behind the project was I wanted to present it as a book, an old battered science book from the 1800s. I wanted people to look at it and think, oh, that's something that looks very old. So I purposely, you know, made it have these mouldy sort of patches on it and a very worn look and a stained cover, so that when people picked it up and looked through, they thought they were looking at old plankton samples from, you know, way back. And actually, when they got to the end of the book, they realised that they're actually looking at pieces of plastic from the current day.
Wow. So it's that shock tactic you use again, that kind of slightly messing with people so that it's immediately obvious.
Yeah, so it's a kind of a trick, really, initially, and then they find out. And I think that realisation is something that kind of hopefully sticks in the mind and, again, makes them think about the project and the issue for longer. The actual project was inspired by the fact that plankton were eating plastic particles in a laboratory environment when I first started doing the project. And as I was doing the project, plankton were found to be eating microplastic particles in the natural environment in the North Pacific. So it was kind of amazing how I started off being inspired by work that was going on in a lab through science. And then during the project, it was actually found to become true, and it was actually happening in the natural environment.
Is there anything in the sea that has not fallen foul of plastics? Or do you think is there any species that's escaped?
I hope there is. I hope I don't know about it, and I'd like to say there is. As soon as plankton is ingesting plastic at the bottom of the food chain, obviously that's a massive worry, because everything above that, is eating plankton, the small fish, bigger fish, right up to whales. That's kind of the worst sort of thing that could happen at such a microscopic level, and then influence everything above it. And then, of course, at the end of the day, that fish ends up on our plate and we eat it. So, it's kind of come full circle. We're responsible for the plastic that's ended up in the ocean, and then we're actually eating it off our own dinner plates.
And how did you come to name these pieces? They've all got really fascinating names.
I looked at the plankton names, the Latin names of plankton, and I decided that I wanted to keep that, kind of feeling of it being old and given the original Latin names. But instead, I wanted to put my own version on it, my own sort of tweak. And that was to add the word plastic within the name of the word. So the original Latin name is there, but the word plastic is hidden within the name. So again, it's the whole thing is sort of saturated with the plastic issue, as it were, you know, in the caption and the process, and the, as well as the final visual. When I exhibit this series, I usually have specimen drawers alongside, depending on the space, have a full set of specimen drawers. And this enhances the work and what I'm trying to say, because I'm talking about microplastics. So there are microplastics in the specimen boxes that have been recovered from oceans around the world, from six different oceans. There's also microplastics in terms of microbeads that have been recovered from toothpaste, plastic bags that have been broken down into tiny little pieces. And these give examples of the type of microplastics that plankton would be eating in the ocean. So it's to educate the viewer further by showing practical and real examples.